So there's a study on fear, which I think is appropriate since it is Halloween today. What are people afraid of? What are people afraid of? And so they listed the top 10 strongest human fears. Strongest human fear. Not necessarily what they're, you know, physically afraid of, but maybe more just human fears. Number 10 is losing your freedom. That was a top human fear. The unknown. People are afraid of the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Pain, disappointment. Number 7, misery. Number 5 was loneliness. People are afraid to be lonely. Number 4 is ridicule, rejection. Number 2 is death. And the number 1 strongest human fear, failure. People are most afraid of failing. Boy, that is true for so many people, afraid to step out and to do things because they're afraid that they might fail. Did you know that they also did a study, and you guys may have seen this too, of some physical things that people are afraid of? Do you know what the number one thing that people are physically afraid of in this world? The number one thing. Can anybody guess? Public speaking is one of them. Yeah, that's pretty, you know, fearful. I don't know. But anyway, what? Feet. That's just gross. Feet's gross. Snakes. Can you believe that? Number one fear, snakes. I get that. I need to tell you my story of a snake in my garage one time, and I went crazy with a shovel. Just to let you know, I am afraid of those. So listen, fear is real. And I want you to hear this one as we continue our series, Unchristian. Now, before you think, unchristian, what does that mean? Well, really what we're talking about are some of the characteristics of the believer, kind of dealing with this idea of un. So last week we talked about the believer being unashamed. And so what does it look like to live this unchristian life? So today, it's appropriate as we're doing Halloween today, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be unafraid. How do we live life as a believer unafraid and able to live without the anxiety and the fear of sharing the gospel and living out our faith every single day? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Isaiah 41. That's what we're going to be reading out of this morning. And before we get to that point, go ahead and turn there so you're ready to go. It'll be in your notes if you have that paper or on your Bible app, or it'll be up on the screen. You know, I just want you to know, as we talk about being unafraid and we talk about fear, before we read our passage of Scripture, I want you to know three things about fear real quick. And this won't be on your notes, but one thing is this, that fear is very common. So if you're here today and you have some kind of anxiety or you're afraid of something, which I think it's, you know, safe to say that we all have a little bit of that in our life. Listen, fear is one of the most common basic human emotions. We all experience that. We all have that. And so if you have a little bit of fear in your life, know that it's common, okay? It happens. As a matter of fact, sometimes a little bit of fear can be good. It keeps us from, you know, hurting ourselves or getting in danger. Listen, some fear is good. We all experience it. It's very common. But here's the second thing that I think is important. God cares about your fears. God cares about your fears because He cares about you. And He wants to help you in that fear, which comes to the third thing. And this is probably the most important thing as we think about fear, is that God is the answer to your fear. So know that this morning, as we talk about living life unafraid, it all hinges on relationship with God. God is the answer to help us live out our faith unafraid for Him in this world. And so this morning, as we look at Isaiah 41, we're going to look at 5 reasons that we can live unafraid in this world today. And listen, they all deal with our God because He is the answer. So Isaiah 41, that's what we're going to be reading out of this morning. Isaiah 41, we're going to read verses 10 through 13 together. 10 through 13 together. And then we're going to talk about these 5 things that really reasons why we can live unafraid. So Isaiah chapter 41, starting in verse 10. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? This is what God's word says. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Father, thank you for your word and the power that's in your word. And our prayer, Holy Spirit, is that you would move and work in a mighty way, changing us and transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were to look at statistics in the Bible app, it's number three probably on the list, but of the most read verse of Scripture is Isaiah 41:10, a very popular verse that people turn to in times of fear, times of anxiety, and rightly so. It's a powerful, powerful verse. In context, it's a very powerful passage, and as it's talking about, and I believe Scripture is like this. Scripture is really for the time that it was written. There's a specific people. There's a specific time that it's for. There's power in that, and that has a great purpose. But I also believe God is always the same. He's never changing. His word never changes. And so just like God's word was powerful and important then, is just as powerful and important today. And so as we look at our world and the culture we live in, listen, you can almost put a mirror up to this. The things that the Israelites were walking through, very similar things that we're walking through today. So Isaiah 41, spoken to the Israelites and also spoken to their captors. They were in captivity. So spoken to the Babylonians and talking about, this really to convict them of sin. A lot of them were living a life that was, misdirected and kind of focused in on false idols. And that's what they were worshiping. Listen, there's danger in that. A lot of Israelites were following that kind of protocol, worshiping a false idol. But also with that came some persecution for the Israelites. Obviously, they're in captivity, many of them. And so to live out their faith, it was important for them to be encouraged. And so Isaiah 41 is also a passage about encouragement. It's encouraging them to live for the Lord because their God is God, creator of the world. And so listen, we can take this passage and we can apply that to our life. Listen, it's no different. Now, what we worship is a little different than what they did back in biblical times. They worshiped false idols. But can I just tell you, in our world, in our culture today, many people worship false idols. They worship false gods. They may not bow down to a concrete metal gold image, but many people in our world today are worshiping maybe the god of money, maybe an idol of family. But in a sense, we do kind of get misdirected in our focus and our faith as we begin focusing in on something that is false, and that's what we worship. So this passage for us can really be effective for us. It's very applicable to us today. It's a passage that should convict us a little bit, but even more than that, it should encourage us as believers. So as believers, as we are walking through this culture, we kind of deal with some of the same things the Israelites did, some persecution. We deal with a world that is looking at us. Maybe we're trying to live counterculture to this world, and it causes all kinds of problems. So this passage is great for conviction, is great for encouragement. And so today I want to use this passage as encouragement today for us as believers. Because what this passage does is it talks about who our God is. That in the midst of a culture and a world that is worshiping false gods and worshiping these idols, listen, in the midst of a culture that is maybe persecuting the believer, we can live with strength and confidence. And we don't have to be afraid to live out our faith from day to day. And so I want to talk just through five reasons why we can live a life unafraid. And it all comes from this passage, and really most of them come from verse 10. Such a powerful, powerful verse for us as we talk about who God is and the very character of God. And so if you would, go ahead and pull out your notes. Let's look at this just a little bit. And I'm going to walk through five reasons that we can live unafraid because of who God is. And the first thing is this. Look at this passage and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." I want you to know this morning that we can live unafraid because our God is present. Our God is present today. He's not far off kind of manipulating things. He's not making decisions far away from us and we have no idea what's happening. Listen, we have a God who is present. And when we look in Scripture, listen, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, what we find is a very present God. We find a God who is present in the Garden of Eden, in creation, obviously, to the end of times. Listen, in Revelation, we know a God who will return to be very present in our life. God is present all through Scripture. We know a God who is present, even culminating there as we think about the gospel with Jesus Christ. God with us, Emmanuel. And so the very essence of who God is, His character and who He is, listen, our God is a present God in our life today. That's why David was able to say this, "In your presence there is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Listen, the idea and the truth that our God is present is life-changing. Life-changing. Because in our present God we find joy. In our present God we find peace. We know that our God is here. Now we find in our relationship today, and we know that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit who is indwelling within the life of the believer. And so every time every waking moment, at all times, we have the presence of God in our life. Praise God that He is present. I'm thankful today that we have a God who doesn't just create and step away, but He's created and He is present. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." How can we live unafraid? We live unafraid because we have a God who goes with us. He's present. But also look at this passage. It goes on and says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Now, I want you to underline that. Now, your translation may be a little different, but the truth is there. So underline it, underline that part in that verse 10. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." You know, you look at some false religions and they teach of a God who, again, is distant, that has no connection, almost a mystical kind of God. Well, see, here's what we find from this verse. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." We have a God who's not just present, but our God is personal. Our God is personal. God, creator of the universe, is a personal God. And here's, listen, if we were to sum up the gospel, it would be with one word and it would be relationship. You see, the gospel is the very essence of relationship. Jesus dying on the cross, shedding His blood so that we could have forgiveness of sin, to be able to have relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have a God who loves us so much and desires relationship with us, wants to be personal with us, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. Our God is personal. Listen, we look at that verse and He says, again, circle, He says, "For I am your God." I love a couple of chapters later in Isaiah 43. And you can turn there if you want. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1. It says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you.'" I love this line. Listen, "I have called you by name. You are mine." I love that. A personal God who knows us by name. We are His. "When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What a beautiful truth that we hold on to as believers today, that we have a God who is present and He is personal. And listen, this idea of personal, and it's so important that we kind of understand and grasp this, because when we experience God's compassion, when we experience His mercy, when we experience friendship of God, listen, this is all because He is a personal God. You know, tonight at 4 o'clock, we're praying for hundreds and hundreds of people to come to our church and get candy. And it would be easy just to say, listen, trunk or treat is all about the candy. It's easy to say that. We could say it's all about the costumes. It's all about the snow cones. It's all about, listen, that's what trunk or treat. Can I just tell you what trunk or treat is about? Relationship. That's what it is. It's about our relationship with our community, our relationship with those that need to know about Jesus, our relationship with every person that comes by our trunk. It's about relationship. And you know why? Because relationship changes things. When we come to church, we don't worship God because it's a checklist. We don't worship God and trust Him because of the rules and regulations. We worship and trust our God because of the relationship that we have with a personal God. Listen, do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you walk through the motions? Do you check off a list every time you come on Sundays or Wednesdays? Do you feel like you're just kind of running the rat race of religion? Listen, if that's where your focus is, if what you're experiencing in your life is just a deep oppression of religion, then you're missing relationship. And today, I just want to remind you that we can live this life without fear. We can live this life with joy. Why? Because we have a God who is personal, who knows you by name, knows everything about you. Do you know Him personally? Well, listen, as we walk on through this verse 10, it says this, I will strengthen you, I will help you. That's what God says to us. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Listen, our God is not only a present God and a personal God, but our God is a provider. Our God is a provider God. Listen, this is something that should transform how we live out our faith. Because many times, let's think about it. What are we most afraid of in our life? Many times we're afraid that we're not going to have what we need. We're afraid that we're not going to have the things that we need tomorrow or the days to come. Our kids won't have what they need. Listen, we have that kind of fear that, so we work harder, we work more hours, we do all these things because we have to provide. But can I just tell you, our God is a provider. And we find this from the very beginning in Scripture in Genesis chapter 20, really is where this name of God comes from, this character trait, this who He is, the fact that God is a provider God, Jehovah Jireh, that we read about in Genesis 22 of Abraham, when God calls on Abraham to offer his son Isaac, and they go to Mount Moriah, and He puts Isaac on the altar to sacrifice him, to be obedient to Him. And what does God do? He says, stop! And He provides a sacrifice for him in place of his son. So that from that moment on, what we find is God's name is God Provider. He provides. And you know, it doesn't just stop with Abraham. God provides all through Scripture for the things that His people need. I believe with all my heart that God is not a genie that He's going to give us whatever we ask for. That doesn't work. We're not a name it, claim it kind of faith. Listen, we're a God that doesn't give us what we want, but He gives us what we need. He's a provider God. And we find all through Scripture, we find this. Listen, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 31, do not worry then saying what you will eat or what we will drink or what will we wear for clothing, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Every day we wake up and we walk out, we see God's creation. You know, spending a week in Utah, talking and meeting with church planters and those that are starting churches in that Salt Lake City area, just captivated by the beauty of God's creation. Amazing. The mountains, beautiful. Now think about what God has done in His creation and how He takes care of His creation. Don't you think He's going to take care of us? He's a big God who provides. He is God provider. Now listen, on your notes, as we move through this scripture, I want you to do something for me. I want you to flip-flop 5 and 4. It's going to be different. It's going to be right on the screen, but maybe different on your notes. But as we walk through this passage, here's what it says. It says this, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, our God is not just a provider God. Our God is powerful. Our God is powerful. How can we live life unafraid? Because we have a powerful, powerful God. Now listen, this is what I think is so amazing. And again, I want you to underline that verse. Underline this, those words. I will uphold you. Underline that. What does that look like for us in our life today? It says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you read about God's right hand, what you read is it's God's mighty right hand. Strong and powerful. It's a picture of His authority. And it says He will uphold us with His right hand, which means this. Listen, no matter what may be going on in your life today, God is powerful enough to work and move. No matter what storm is coming, God is powerful enough to do what He wants to do. God's mighty right hand upholding us in times that we desperately need Him. Now, what I love about this passage, it says this, I will uphold you, but it says with His righteous right hand. Don't miss these words. There's the words that are in God's word are perfect and important. And when it says His righteous right hand, listen, it means it's perfect. His holy, perfect, just right hand. It means that God desires good and His plans are good and His plans are perfect no matter what. And so when His hand upholds us, it means the mighty sovereign God will uphold you. The God of true blessing will hold you. The God of all authority will uphold you. Listen, when we talk about righteous right hand, it means it's perfect, balanced of mercy and justice and love and grace. That's our God. And so we can live unafraid with no fear because our God will uphold us. Maybe this morning you need to hear Psalm 91. I think every once in a while we should just read Psalm 91 and let it just kind of wash over us for a little bit. But listen to what Psalm 91 says, starting in verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. We have a powerful, powerful God. And He wants to uphold you with His right hand. Well, this verse, as we look at this last part, here's what it says. I think this is amazing. It says, looking on down this passage, says, those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. Not only is our God powerful, but our God is a protector. He's a protector. Now, here's what I mean by that. Listen, we read, we know he's powerful. And when we read these verses, those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. Listen, what a great reassurance for us that our God is going to protect us from things that are happening in this world. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to walk through this life easy and carefree. But listen, it does mean this. We're going to walk through this life unafraid because we have a God who protects. Now, here's what I want you to do. Thinking of that, verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says, "For I, the Lord your God." Now, listen, we had just read, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You hear that? That's what it said. But now listen to what it says. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." So when my kids were younger, that it's not, you know, this doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. But when they were younger, one of the safest places they could be was right next to me while I was holding their hand. Can I tell you, when I read this passage, the picture that comes to mind for me in my heart is that my God, yeah, he upholds me with his righteous right hand, but my God is so caring and he loves me so much and he's so gracious and compassionate that not only does he uphold me with his righteous right hand, he holds my hand. Listen, there's no better place to be than holding the hand of God. And when we read the scripture that God holds our hand and he walks with us and he protects us and he cares for us. Listen, what a great reminder today that this world has nothing on God. That we're able to share the gospel freely. We're able to walk through any kind of persecution. We're able to walk through this culture. Why? Because you know what? God's holding my hand. We're able to walk through the death of a loved one. We're able to walk through anxiety in times of school. We're able to walk through difficult decisions. Why? Because God is holding my hand. You see, he's a protector God. And again, it doesn't mean that we're not going to walk through tough things, but we are going to walk through difficult things with God, creator of the world, sovereign, most high, all wise, holding our hand. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything greater, anything more powerful in this world than God holding my hand. And if God is holding my hand, I don't have anything to be afraid of. So church, I want to encourage you today. Are you afraid? Are you living life in fear? Are you letting fear cripple you and cripple your faith? Listen, today, be reminded that our God, our personal God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, our God is holding our hand today. And I pray that that encourages you and empowers you to live out your faith and to change this world.